won't see anything because you have to look at here. So, si vous voulez vous rapprocher, s'il vous plaît.
So I will begin right now to explain a little bit this map because, is that too loud? Because I think it doesn't work so well as an isolated object. It always needs to be considered in its context, and I will explain a little bit about it. And also I want to show you some snapshots which are connected with this map. And as a form of presentation, I've chosen to write a text because text and writing is quite important for my work. So I will read this text for you. The story of this map started last November, and as a nice coincidence, it started here in Brussels in a former shopping mall next to Central Station, with a sheet of paper attached to one window inside. It was an advertisement for this festival, actually, last year, Verbindingen 7, and I don't know how it came there, but I took it as a sign and I followed the hint. From that day on, I started collecting addresses and phone numbers I got from magazines, postcards, small sheets of paper attached to noteboards, traffic lights, or back entrances. I also started calling people on the phone I didn't know before. Whenever I made a call, I said I was doing research for my PhD thesis, dealing with interdisciplinary projects in Europe, which was true, in fact. I come to turn a little bit to you. And on the same time, left open everything. So it was quite a good way to start conversation with. Then dynamics in conversation took over, and I found myself searching not only for material to write about in a PhD, but also for non-marked places, unfinished projects, breaks in performances, ideas of interventions, ways to survive with or without funding, all these hidden layers under the official artistic discourse. I studied real journeys through the imaginative cultural geography of Europe, following hints from one country to another, visiting spaces, performances, meeting people I called before, meeting people without having called before. By visualizing this route and the connections between projects in hand-drawn maps like this one, I got a practical tool for my research and on the same time a nice informal city guide for people being interested in what was happening in their own city or somewhere else, especially if they themselves were too busy to have a look around. So I did a map of Brussels and surroundings, of Portugal, of Finland and the Baltics, and all these maps are incorrect in terms of geographical distance, site or symbol, and they are already changing when being distributed. So right now they themselves are also traveling through Europe. Some are traveling with me, so they are ready for being distributed after this presentation. If you want to have a small map, just ask for it. When I started putting these small maps together for this big map, it was like putting images next to and onto each other. A montage of snapshots, depicting moments of encounters, observations, exposed several times to dissolve and sharpen on the same time the lines of other images by reaffirming a connection. You could interpret this whole map as a snapshot itself, dated the 24th of November 2004, and it already changed while being here, so. A friend asked me where I was in this map, and it would be easy to say it is my subjective view on European networks and connections, so I stay outside. But by following physically the non-linear logic of these hints from one billboard and one town to another, you cannot be sure, is it really you creating this map by traveling or drawing? Or are you just appearing as an ink dot, leaving traces while moving through its landscape? As the description of your own body cannot be distinguished from your bodily sensations, notes of the journey are automatically body notes, with landscapes being absorbed into your body and finally turned into the body of a map. Maps couldn't come into being without physical movement and time, though in the end they do not depict neither movement nor time. Actually, they are hiding much more than what they are showing. So this map is hiding, for example, borderlines. It does only depict distances, a consequence of mapping interdisciplinary projects, maybe. I came to understand it as a corrective. All names of people, projects, culture scenes, festivals have the same size. There are no hierarchies between center or peripherics, though it was necessary for drawing them to choose an invisible center from where the first paths could start and in consequence others would follow. At the end, my last map, this one, was covered by invisible yet quite influential centers, the radius of paths marking different regions in a multiple perspective, like we have seen in the first presentation by Moritz of the works of Shan. Still, the map does not say how often and in which way these paths are used. So some of them may be already outdated. If not used anymore or not open to the use by others, they cease to exist, like old footpaths at the coastline of Galicia, formerly connecting gardens, houses and docks, and nowadays replaced by roads and garbage heaps. Some artists might even use ships and river passages to be more flexible in where they want to enter new regions, a way of transport that wouldn't work so easily in real geographics of Europe. But of course, distance and a limited range of action create their own borderlines. You will realize by entering the real sites that Riga, Vilnius and Brussels, which are all on this map actually, might be close in a media landscape, or that you're more likely to meet a dancer again in Lisbon or Tallinn than in your own town's art world. Your own range of action depends basically on your curiosity, but also on your professional background and, of course, on time, money, and whether you're a member of the European Union. These hard facts can be modified by invitations to festivals and residencies, border crossing in a creative way, hitchhiking, or entering art halls, theaters, or culture centers without tickets, but by performing successfully the right to be inside. Changing the perspective of state control and projecting it onto culture scape, that would mean where I am performing my movement successfully, their identity is confirmed by the gaze of others. I was constantly performing being a good citizen when crossing national borders. One time entering Switzerland, I had to get out all the stuff of my rucksack to produce it to the officer who was, after 2 hours of going through nuns' underwear and children's teddy bears, already too tired to realize that actually I was the bad guy in the bus, smuggling hand-drawn maps that deleted completely the well-controlled borderlines of his home country. So your documents, your profile, and stamps in your passport reporting where you were already allowed to pass take effect especially in border zones, where your backbones of identity as a citizen are being X-rayed by laser or look, and the results put into a filter of inclusion and exclusion. By crossing border zones of culturescape, you might have the same feeling in your backbone, though usually you're not forced to open your rucksack at the entrance. After this 2 hours check, I was quite disappointed. My maps seemed not to have any revolutionary potential at all. Even worse, these maps without borderlines and hierarchies might be an illusion, scattered by a system of territory, passing and non-passing, also in European culture scene. Maybe I should define at this point map in another way. I would define it as a temporal description of a border zone, as visual suggestion where to create border zones yourself, crashing down distances and dimensions by tracing new paths and building new networks. So network is another hidden word in this text. Though we speak a lot of networks, there are no worked out nets covering Europe and floating freely in boundless space, but there is the work of knitting connections via web communication, virtual offices, phone calls, or spider-like twisting of threads between two destinations, like these old cord phones. If they are not stretched and used at the same time, they do not work. These threads, depicted as paths in my map, need an actual starting point, maybe a physical encounter, or at least a connection to the ground. But if people are traveling through Europe with their work, they are not necessarily leaving this ground. And to touch the ground, you do not have to touch the pavement even, if your surroundings supply enough floor, artistic or artificial one. André Lepetzky introduces the term being grounded by describing an artist crawling up the avenue in a Superman's costume, touching the pavement literally with every move. So being grounded is another magical word hidden in this text, and it's just as magical, and we do not know what it is, like event or network. But to find out what it could mean, I guess you have to step out to touch the pavement. Maybe not in a Superman's costume, but with an eye for the outside, and then an eye for another outside, and another outside. And I would like to show you now a little bit of the outside of this map. But outside and reality, the outside's reality, are also quite dangerous words. I would define them as a blind spot. If you want to catch them in an image, you cannot really grasp them. And as you are not able to see a blind spot, because this is exactly the radius of perception, the radius taken out of perception, there would be no use in showing real snapshots to you. So I decided to show you imaginative snapshots. And when I decided that, friends called me crazy, because they heard I had traveled to all these places, Brussels, Ghent, Lisbon, Maastricht, Porto, Madrid, Barcelona, Paris, Geneva, Vilnius, Riga, Tallinn, Helsinki, and also places they had never heard of as Palanga, Montemoro Novo, Inari, Pärnu, Kaunas, Liepaja, Pyhäjärvi, without taking any photos. I mentioned a rather practical reason for that. Imaginative snapshots are simply easier to carry. But In fact, I believe in slides without image or spoken words without recording, like these words, more than in what is visible and provable, because of their moment of appearance and then their presence in the center, always a blind spot, as presence itself cannot be grasped, and the search for traces afterwards on the blank screen and in the auditorium. So let's have a look. The first snapshot I want to present you was taken in Antwerp in the Museum of Contemporary Art, showing some big scale prints of photographs not yet attached to the wall. Photographs of big foundlings at the Irish coast, 9 portraits of stones. Orla is walking from one to another, changing their order, carrying them from the left to the right, and asking for advice. Leaning against the wall, they are still like words in a loose chain, not yet ready for being interpreted as a sentence. But as soon as the exhibition starts, nobody will ever touch them again to rearrange the narrative. On the road back to Brussels, it is raining. The mirror on the right side of Orla's car is missing, and I have no idea which road to take. So we do the same thing again, changing the order, moving from left to right deliberately, giving instructions and withdrawing them until we finally reach the center. Carlos comes to me in Börschauburg. I know you. I've seen you in Ghent. You were speaking before I started dancing. It felt good not to have this silence when addressing the audience. I do agree with that. Pyöjärvi, Finnish Lapland. William starts his solo in the middle of a hotel bar, actually the only hotel bar in Pyöjärvi, with a bunch of people sitting and standing around him. He changes their glasses in a fast, mischievous choreography, ordering more vodka, drinking it himself, seducing several women, forcing them to dance. As he takes a knife between his teeth, Pirjo, the festival's artistic director, steps towards him. He tries to involve her into her game, into his game. She starts dancing but does not fully respond. For a while they are fighting in silence, where to turn the performance to. Paris, a big hall used as a festival space. In the center, a group of people sitting on the ground talking about performance. Suddenly, the curator, her assistant, and a Brazilian performer start shouting at each other. In the end, they have to stop the discussion. Theodore is speaking with the assistant. She starts crying. On the same time he is taking her into his arms, he stretches out the right hand to give his card to the Brazilian performer. Lisbon. We are sitting in damp darkness near the entrance of a former nightclub, which has recently turned into the only theater in the red light district near the harbor. I don't know why she didn't take in the rest of the audience. Maybe it was a special performance only for one person. Through her silence, I watch the theater space, the dark, wet walls not yet renovated, the pale light in the technician's room, the structure of gray stones on the ground, like the pavement outside. Sitting in the shadow, not moving, watching me from time to time, she turns more and more into a cruel sphinx, rejecting any comfort in understanding the space she is living in. When she finally opens the main door and sells us the tickets, I'm the only person who knows that the real performance is already over before theater starts. Barcelona, about to start. Tom and I are walking over grass, stones, waste on the empty field next to La Diagonale. This will be the kitchen, he explains, and here will be the video screen for the festival in summer, facing the park over there. Behind us, old factory walls. Two old men leaning against them, smoking. In front of us, some young people cleaning the ground by cutting dry grass and bushes. They are surrounded by police fences to mark the new border between Forum Barcelona and No Man's Land, official and reclaimed cultural space. Studio Laba, Helsinki. A small black room, dark, crowded. Actually, I've studied mathematics. The woman in front of me giggles, leaving a strong smell of vodka in the air. I take it as a joke, remembering the six small bottles in her so-called performance, which consisted only of drinking alcohol. Later on, I find out about the international breakthrough of Irma Optimist, one of the most influential performers in Finland, still quoted in books about the 70s and 80s. I want to contact her, but when I read that the performance she has become famous with was about female mathematics, I do not. Helsinki, Mannerheim in dear. Irma Optimist is passing by, cycling. With her, in black, the mysterious man with the black leather clothes I have seen in Studio Laba. Erik in Kalu. The man with the black leather clothes is entering the bar from the left entrance, ordering coffee, drinking, in silence. Another man is entering from the right, also in black. He's looking for postcards and cinema programs on the black noteboard. I remember him from Studio Laba. Both are leaving at the same time, one to the left, one to the right. Liepāja. A small town at the Latvian coast, used as a military base during Soviet time. The exhibition about cultural mapping has not opened yet, so we stroll around in the so-called center, which consists of a big Orthodoxian church in the middle of quite sad buildings of the 60s. Soon we are surrounded by children asking for money. Two boys are following us, pronouncing her few English words in various ways, but without success. Karosta, Center for Media Arts and Workshops and Exhibition Space in Liepāja. A choir of Latvian and Russian ladies is singing traditionals for the opening. Two slideshows compare Liepāja and Inari in Finnish Lapland. Some media artists I came with reappear in a bunch of locals, and with them, the two boys, grinning broadly and waving their hands. It takes a while to discover NIFCA's headquarters on Suomenlinna, an island next to Helsinki, also used as a military base during the last centuries by different nations. As I am entering the first hall, I only find art magazines and a small library. In the second part, a young woman appears, telling me in French to wait for Mitro, the person in the third room. Mitro doesn't really want to answer my questions, or he simply can't. It turns out that NIFCA, the Center for Supporting Contemporary Art in Scandinavia, has no archive or memory. No one has worked there for longer than a couple of years. There's no official house rule. So Mitro sends me back to town to see Marika. I meet Marika near the harbor. She just arrived from Belgrade and went directly to meet the Minister of Culture in Helsinki. For a second, I see her in an undercover mission, smuggling a desperate, challenging spirit of Belgrade's artists into a settled, saturated Scandinavian institution. A subsidized attention shifts annually and quite deliberately from one region and one leading team to another, I imagine NIFCA's people knitting their own network secretly on an island theoretically covering it by the term critics of institutionalism. Vilnius. The white sculpture of an angel sitting on a garbage bin in a narrow, quiet, run-down street next to the city center. It reminds of another angel, marking the entrance of Užupis, the so-called free republic behind Art Academy, where ground gets more and more expensive now as people start investing. Still, some inhibitants and many art students live there without bathroom, toilets outside, next to improvised gallery spaces and fireplaces for picnics on Sundays. Heading towards this neighborhood, I notice two men following me in black. As I walk faster, they try to catch up distance. I reach the art museum right before them. Standing next to a police officer, I watch them waiting, watching me, finally disappearing into two directions. In front of me, another angel, trying to calm me down with a naive smile in its white Baroquean plastic face. Kaunas, between a huge shopping center and a former graveyard. As I am crossing the backyards of a kind of no man's land in the suburbs, I see a man picking apples from small trees that belong to shabby houses, and then hiding them in his coat. I reach a small bridge, in front of me a huge forest surrounded by dead factories. Passing the top point, I suddenly realize I've lost the city map on the way. So I walk back to the center in a hurry, but I cannot find the marks again, defining the cultural territory familiar to me. That must be somewhere on the way. An old factory chimney in Essen, Germany. It is already getting dark. Houses are hiding between trees and bushes. Cars are passing by with people shouting. It takes me half an hour to discover Pacht Zollverein, the dance center in the middle of industrial leftovers. Inside the center. We hear Gudnega's voice via GSM. She's walking around outside, trying to describe the surroundings for us as part of an exercise. So she's describing an empty hall, a huge bridge with a man on top holding a blue umbrella, a shovel, a rabbit. I ask her to bring the shovel inside. She does. It is wet and rusty, my hands get dirty as I carry it with me, and I carry it to presentation, the final discussion, to the lounge, to dinner, through the newly renovated halls where workers' clothes hang while they were down in the coal mines, and where their dead corpses were presented for being identified after an accident. I finally put the shovel behind an open door, which will only close when the meeting's last day is over. Brussels. 2 days ago, in a cafe in Excel, Akiko shows me a description for a Japanese sound object placed outside to intensify silence, basically. She wants to include its idea into her concerts and does not know how to present it here in Europe. In my mind, I walk back the paths I came from, passing the electronic environment at Rixi's Media Center, crossing the forest of sound, remembering dancers holding their movement, reaching artistic farms and land art objects near Monte Duvento. "You should send me some copies of this drawing," I tell Akiko. "I'll let them pass through the map. Let's see what will happen then."
Thank you.
So I was sorry not to see you while speaking, but maybe you were concentrated on the snapshots. But I would be happy to answer questions now, if there are any. I would turn around.
Maybe a more general or to all of you presenting. Someone just brought up this question of maps that could be dangerous. And you brought it up again, being almost disappointed that at the border no one would actually put you in jail because of your maps. So could you talk a bit about that? The desire to make dangerous maps.
Actually, at first, I did have the desire to make dangerous maps, but to make practical maps. But I think it's a wish of having a map that takes effect on reality. And of course, it doesn't work like this. Of course, I knew I wasn't put in jail for a map. Maybe you can touch on copyright, so this is maybe the real danger. But I think as we are taking our perception of reality and putting it into a map, we would like also to have this effect the other way around, that our map is taking effect on reality.
I don't agree that your map don't affect reality, because I did not remember that we met. I was a bit nervous that you mentioned how we met, because as you said, it was because you found the flyer and then we met at a party, whatever I did. And then like 1 year after this, without remembering this meeting, I just invite you, because someone talked about that someone is making a map of relationships, because with Cuisine Interne, a Köken questionnaire, we try to understand how people work, what is a workspace. Inviting Jean and Maurice was a way to map what type of relationship we have in our working process. And then we thought, yeah, we should have someone making a fictive and imaginative snapshot. So it's really, I don't realize if people catch this, but this really fluid way of how you meet people, like we met Saul on internet following, we don't remember which links he brought, Joe that is mentioned in text with us. So this kind of to make visible this fluid and ephemeris way of how we connect, or how the stories we could tell and retell and retell about not everyone in the audience, but how we know each other and so on and so forth. So actually the fact that you produce an image and not only be a walker, that's maybe our problem, that we don't invite walking people only or telling people stories only. But the fact that you produce at one point an image, this map made me notice you in a way. So it affects.
These are also the dynamics of the small maps, I realized. So I was distributing these maps right after having done them. And then people would ask me, so where shall I go to? I have this idea for a project, or I want to see this space, or I think of expanding my network. So I already realized that these are could be the dynamics of a map of being used. And actually, I was quite surprised that these dynamics would also include myself. So this is how they work and how they should work.
I've looked at the map, and vast areas of it I don't recognize at all. But the bits that I do, seem to me to occupy very, very separate ideological approaches to some of the themes and some of the ideas that you've been talking about, your interests, and that you've been talking about having interest in yourself. And I just wondered where your judgment or where your critical engagement with these things appears here, in some other way perhaps than just the links, because when I'm seeing two, I can see several things linked together, that I see the link in some terms, but at the same time, like the link between, say, the Cube Cinema, Heath Bunting and Blast Theory. I don't know if anybody else is familiar with these people and organisations, but it's not the link is very separate in some ways, and I can see loads of different approaches to envisioning maps or envisioning projects and work, and where's your thesis? Yeah. And where's your judgment?
Yeah, I see this point, and also it's quite an important point that you cannot tell from the past what kind of link is there. Do they just know themselves? So exactly was what Moritz and Shan were trying to do, to really categorize the inference and the connections. I didn't. I just left it like this. So of course, there's no direct information about in these paths. And to answer your question, where's the microphone? Here it is. Okay. Where's the critical standpoint, or how do I take, what is my attitude towards these projects I'm mapping? In fact, they are very diverse, not only ideologically, but also in the...
Maybe I can speak.
No, it's okay. But also in the form of media they are working in. In the context, you will find cultural spaces, you will find dance festivals next to media artists and so on. And actually, I didn't want to judge them, but rather make suggestions who could be closer, because it's always a question of perspective. You can say, okay, Blast Theory and Heath Bunting, the way they are working is differently, though they are working with media, they have really a different background and a different aim. But, well, in a way, maybe then it's a little bit utopian, or meant to encourage more conversation or communication, because I see a lot of borderlines, and I see a lot of gaps in the cultural scene, and I'm also depicting them in a very hidden way, as there are regions, and if they are not close to each other, actually from their ideological standpoint or whatever, they may be very, very far. But I wanted to stress on what may be similar, or where there could be possibilities of communication, rather than depicting the borderlines and gaps which, of course, exist.
But the borderlines that are missing they're dialectical. So you produce borderlines that maybe shift in reaction to positions and arguments that you take. I know that you're trying to avoid distinguishing maybe too sharply between approaches, or to bring things together. But in some ways, the production of a border is also a communication that has a statement and has an opinion and has point of view that maybe you're making anyway just by having these two things linked to each other. So there is a statement there, but maybe I'm trying to find out what it is. What the statement that you're making by putting these two things next to each other is, in a more dialectical way, rather than to say that you're not making a statement or that you're trying not to make a statement. Do you have an opinion about these things, or do you have an opinion about the differences or the relationships?
Yes, of course I have, and I have to say that this is only one part of. This is one outcome of my research and of the material I was collecting, and I'm writing. I want to describe special projects, and then critically analyzing them and analyzing where they are grounded, where do they come from, what their aims are, what kind of communication they are using. So I didn't put this critical approach into the map. So you could see it like different ways of dealing with the material I have collected. Also these small stories I presented you, they're also a way of dealing with the material. And also what you said about borderlines, I do agree. On the same time you said then borderlines can move, they can be flexible. So I had to face the problem how to present flexible borderlines in a drawn map like this. So then I decided not to have these borderlines at all, because I didn't want to fix them.